PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my friends, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is Mr. Dave Neville, a.k.a. D-Nevs, from Callaway Golf. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Canadan. Good to be with you, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. That is a long-standing moniker. I don't know if I want to keep it going, but it's Canadan for now for sure. And for you folks out there trying to find David, he is on Twitter at DNevsCG, where he, I just actually took a look at your Twitter feed. You have got some serious information packed in there this year between the tour wins, between the new product. I mean, it's ridiculous. You guys are busy.
Yeah, it's been a busy year. It's been a record year. So we've been really proud of what we've been able to launch with the Epic, the Apex, the golf ball, the putters. And then the tour success has been incredibly validating and, you know, really made us feel good. Phil winning the major, then Rahm's story was unbelievable. Xander, even the U.S. Senior Women's Open with Annika, with her comeback stories, 10 PGA Tour wins. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been cool. It seems like every weekend, though, on Sundays, we're having to do win ads. Last Sunday for our boy Kiz there as well.
Is there I know you guys like all your tour stuff. Let's not pretend like you're allowed to pick favorites like mom and dad sitting at the dinner table, but you got to feel good every time you see Mr. Kisner on the leaderboard kicking butt, and then especially winning, because he seems like such a down-to-earth guy. He takes it seriously. He's not messing around, but it's for, he knows just as well as anyone, this is about making money.
Yeah, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He obviously plays hard. He trains hard. And I think people think that maybe he's slacking off and stuff, but he does practice really hard. He trains hard, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. He likes to have fun, likes to have a wager out there, doesn't mind having a beer. We've had ad shoots where, you know, he's bringing beers to the ad shoots, and we're having contests with our cameraman. You know, he's playing left-handed. He is a lot of fun, and anytime we have him for one of the ad shoots, we know it's going to be a good time.
You said he's playing left-handed. Is he actually halfway decent at it, or is this like me trying to play left-handed and getting on YouTube forever kind of thing?
Well, Phil is the king of, I mean, he obviously goes right-handed, but you've seen out there with our friends at No Laying Up where he went head-to-head right-handed. So in terms of going to the other side, Phil is the champ, and he can even trash talk on the other side as well. But yeah, I mean, Kisner can do it. We've had him do the Apex Challenge to see how high he can hit the ball. We had a guy named Tony who was in our camera and edit team, and yeah, you know, he went head to head with Kisner. That didn't work out too well for him. And you know, Kisner likes to say, "Hey boys, see the name on the bag? This ain't no hobby." So we like to have fun with that. You know, this ain't no hobby. That's kind of his go-to line, but he loves to point out that he's got the name on the staff bag and you don't. So, you know, put yourself in the right place.
That's savage. I've got a couple staff bags here with my name on it. I don't deserve that moniker for that condition, but they're here.
You either, yeah. Man. I mean, this is hard work.
So what are you like when you switch hit?
Oh, nah, not great left-handed, but I have been doing the overspeed training and doing that lefty. And it's interesting because you think you swing so much slower left-handed, but it's good. As long as there's not a ball there, I can swing at the same speed.
Eyes closed, eyes open, doesn't matter when you're swinging with the trainer. That's pretty cool. Well, what is in – I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we need to talk – new product, but I need to know right now, because usually it matters most. It's not about you know, what should be in my bag, it's what's in your bag. That's what I gotta know.
Well, I've been testing the new products here for the last couple months, so this has been fun. So I actually I had the Epic Speed 4-wood out of the bag, and I said, I wonder if I could put the Super Hybrid in there, the 3 Super Hybrid and a 5 Super Hybrid, and have some more of that versatility but still not lose distance, because we all know fairway woods are hard to hit off the deck. And I would say I have a very inconsistent track record with hitting fairway woods off the deck. The hybrid seems easier for me. So the super hybrid's been great. So I've got the 3 and the 5 in there. And then the other one that I've been testing on the other end of the bag is the Jaws Fulto, and trying that in the 56 and 60. The spin has just been absolutely incredible. I've got the black, the QPQ finish in there, the spin around the green. But I also like the trajectory. The one thing that we really wanted to change, we can talk more about it, but with the PM grind, people didn't feel like they could hit the full shots. They thought that the PM was more of a specialty type of wedge. And now with this Jaws full toe, it really works well for full shots, helps to control the trajectory. You're getting the right distance with it. So I've had fun with those, a couple of those. Obviously, I got Apex. I got Apex in the bag for the irons, going with the 5-iron on up. And then rocking the triple track 10 putter with the Chromesoft X golf ball with triple track. You know me, I love the triple track. Putting's always fun for me. So we go full triple track ball with the triple track putter.
Do you know what I saw the other day? And I shout out to our buddy Jason Finley. I sent him a picture of it. There's a ball I found on my golf course, and it was not a Callaway, but it had triple track drawn onto it.
Yeah.
and not just like three lines. It was like the colors and everything. I couldn't stop laughing. I said, Jason, I didn't know you were playing golf in Ohio this week. He was not happy. Is it interesting to see that? Cause I know you guys, and I know you're not purely on the ball side, but you get to see it from kind of like the outside in, which is super fun. But you obviously went against the grain with Truvis, and then you did it again with triple track, I would argue, not to the same level. But is it fun to see the sort of reactionary conditions, not just from other companies, but from golfers as well?
Yeah. So the other companies copying, you know, we have patented, so you can't copy it exactly, but copying portions of it has been interesting. But the latest we saw was people were selling a pack, you know, the little plastic thing that goes over the ball that you can draw the lines with in the thick and thin, just like the triple track. And it actually came with a red and a blue Sharpie so that you could create the trip. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't you just buy the triple track? We haven't actually printed it on, and the lines aren't wiggly, and we go halfway around. But that's an interesting form of flattery. You know, when we rolled out Truvis, and we've talked about that in the past, we had a very small forecast. A lot of people thought it was dumb. It wouldn't catch on. And now that's a big portion of our Chromesoft sales. We've actually killed it with it. We've done custom drops, custom type of Truvis. We have people who are crazy collectors. We saw a picture last week of this guy with a massive gumball machine with all the Truvis balls in it. So that's been a lot of fun. The triple track is amazing in terms of what it does to help you align, and we're seeing a lot of tour pros, including Phil Mickelson, putting that in play and really helping folks. Alignment is a huge part of putting, so there was all the science that went behind it. But it's fun. It's interesting to see people out there trying to copy it with their own Sharpies.
So you saying you have ball and putter to line up? Is that what you're saying, or do you have a different?
Yeah, so I have the Chromesoft X ball with the triple track.
Yeah,
and I think it's great, especially within 10 feet, is because you get the alignment from behind, put down the ball, and then I just told myself to trust it. Because in the past, you would get over the ball, and obviously you have different perception when you're over the ball. You don't necessarily trust the line. You either hit it on a different line or you back off and try to change it. So now with the triple track, it's like, okay, I've got it on the line. I'm going to trust that line. Then easy to put the putter right behind it and try to hit it on that line. I think for some people, different people putt different ways. Some people like to have no line on there, and some people that throws them off to have the triple track. But I found it's been great, especially 15 feet and in.
We always say with anything, a little bit of practice helps a lot. And I think what people don't realize is just because you line it up and it looks wrong in a dress, maybe that's telling you something about what you've been doing, regardless of whether the ball goes in the hole. And I'm certainly guilty of that, because I putt with an empty ball for the most part. But every time I've gone to mess around with triple track, especially when I'm not on a putting green, like on the course, I can see the benefits. So I get it, especially from you. I want to circle back in the irons a little bit, because that's not what you started the year with, right?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Apex wasn't quite out. So I've had the Maverick Pros in there, and that was good for me. But the feel of the Apex, the consistency of the irons, of just hitting the numbers, I feel like the Apex line is kind of like that Porsche 911. It's evolved over the years. The technology is amazing, but you still know that it's that 911 shape. You still know that's Apex when you put it down. And the kind of reception we've got from the fitters, from the golf media, from, you know, the Golf Digest, only one to get the perfect score, that kind of thing, has been really helping to validate it. And we've had the best launch we've ever had for the Apex franchise. And that's saying something, because it's been huge for us.
You know, speaking of Epic, I've actually had a 5-iron in my bag for quite some time now, the Epic Forged. And okay. My Franken 5 is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
It's got a recoil shaft in it, 110X, absolute monster of a shaft. And it just, dude, it's nuts. It's like, it's what my 4-iron replacement was when I turned my 4-iron into a 3-iron. It just keeps going up, right?
Like a driving iron for you.
Yeah, it's
you
nasty.
You know, you're a good company, because Phil was doing that for more than a year. He actually had the Epic Forge irons in there in kind of a combo partial set. And he had them. He actually bent them weak because the loss on those were pretty strong.
They're aggressive, but,
yeah. But it was, you know, crazy to see, okay, you got one of the best players in the world and he's putting in a game improvement iron,
right?
The Epic Forge. So definitely in good company on that one.
Well, I know you can't tell me what's coming, even though I would probably beg you even after I hit and broadcast here, but can people who enjoy that kind of product, are we hopeful in the future? Are we going to see some cool new things coming from that lineup?
Yeah. So on the Epic Forged iron, I mean, one thing that we've seen this year has been a huge challenge on the supply chain, and anybody who's ordered clubs and had to wait for them, I think, knows that. And it hasn't been just the heads, but the shafts and the grips as well. So we made the decision really to focus on Apex this year, but we broadened the Apex lineup. So we have the Apex Pro, we have the Apex, but we also have this new deep cavity back, and the DCB has done extremely well for us, actually outselling our forecast for sure. We've had to beef up the supply of that because it allows people to play a forged iron, but it's a little bit more game improvement. And there's people in the past who are like, I want to play Apex. So they felt that maybe their game wasn't quite there to get there. Now they can with the DCB. So we really feel like that's a very, very strong lineup. So the fun stuff that we have coming here in the beginning of September is the Epic Super Hybrid and the Jaws Full Toe Wedge. So I think the Epic Forge, the current one, like you have in the bag, that's on the 2-year plus life cycle. And so you see that kind of phasing out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Super Hybrid, because it's been a staple in my bag for a while, the original one.
Yeah.
Kind of a monster. I have it in the 17-degree model, and the idea is to just hit, as Phil would say, nasty bombs with it, right?
Hellacious seeds,
yeah. And it's been like that ever since I got it, which is super fun. Now, you guys have taken, and I think the best thing we can do here, because there's a lot to talk about, is say, for those who've experienced maybe a couple of your different hybrids over the last year or two, specifically the original Super Hybrid, what are the biggest changes you would say have been made between that and this version, and what makes this so different?
Yeah, so it is a totally new club, and we'll get into that. But just a little background on the Super Hybrid. We rolled it out a couple of years ago in the fall as sort of a niche product, and we had a really small forecast for it. It was the only all-titanium hybrid that was on the market, and it's pretty expensive because of all the technology that went into it. And we killed it with it. We outsold our forecast multiple times, had to reorder, had to make more. So there was definitely a lot of interest. We thought it might be, like you were saying, kind of that better player club to hit the hellacious seeds. But then we also found that a lot of players just love that it had so much distance to it. So we thought, well, what can we do to improve this? And how do we bring it under the Epic franchise? The Epic franchise obviously been so successful for us this year. So really rebuild it from the ground up. The shape is totally different than the previous Super Hybrid. It's a really unique shape, even to Callaway and anywhere in the industry. So you can go out to callawaygolf.com. We have kind of a blended face profile to show the shape. And the 16 and the 18, so the lower lofted ones are a little bit more fairway wood like. They look a little bit different than the higher lofts that are more of that iron replacement type of look. But they look very different than the traditional kind of boxy hybrids, iron-like shape that we've had in other Callaway hybrids. So that's the start. And then you have this all titanium body, the titanium face. So we have the AI designed flash face, which we didn't have in the previous super hybrid. That's allowed to be very aggressive. And just by having the titanium, it's super strong on the face, but also really lightweight. So then we took all that weight that we're able to save and we put in 90 grams of tungsten split into the extreme low and back of the club to make this thing easy to launch. And it's just super forgiving. I've been playing it the last couple months. And what's really interesting to me is that when you hit it off center, and that happens sometimes with the hybrids, the thing just wants to go straight and you just don't lose that much distance. And I was going back to Scott Manwaring, who's in charge of our design for hybrids. I'm like, what do you attribute that to? Because other hybrids I hit, you know, I hit it out on the toe and the thing gets squirrely or you can hook them, that kind of thing. And he's like, no, that's coming from the 90 grams of tungsten that we have low and deep. And then we took the AI velocity blades, which we had in the Epic Fairway Woods, and we put that in. Then you've got adjustability. You've got the sole weight on there. You've got a carbon crown. So, I mean, literally every single possible technology we have put into this hybrid. And people are saying like, oh, why is it expensive? It's like, it's expensive because it's essentially a driver, or actually has even more tech than some of the drivers, because it has 90 grams of tungsten, which the drivers don't have, all packed into this hybrid shape. So it's the fastest ball speed hybrid we've ever created. Yeah, we know it's niche. It's not going to be for everyone. Not everyone wants to pay that price for a hybrid, but there are going to be players out there who want this thing. It's an absolute cannon.
So I guess since you brought it up at the end, and I was going to let you do it because I figured you would, are we going to see conditions like this fall into a fairway wood in the future? This sort of hyper premium, all tech in, little bump in price experience, or is that kind of focused on this very niche product?
Well, I would say, you know, never say never. We're always working on different opportunities. We don't have anything to launch right now. We're coming with the Epic Super Hybrid. It's been interesting on the fairway to try to get some of that same type of performance. The titanium gives you some benefits, but it gives you even more benefit in the hybrid than it does in a fairway wood, which is interesting. So this thing can replace a lot of fairway woods that are out there. The 18 degree of the super hybrid in our testing is longer than our five wood, our Epic speed five wood. So that's interesting because the length of it is shorter. So I feel like it plays a little more versatile, plays a little bit easier out of the rough. But because of the titanium, because of the velocity blades, the tungsten, the ball speeds of this thing are higher than what we have with a five wood. And then you get into the 16 degree and it's going to go right up against three woods that are out there. And I think it could be a three wood replacement for a lot of players.
So Dave, I need you to be honest with me right now, because we've had chats over the years about what was it? First of all, is the utility, that unbelievable thing. I said, make this in 14 degrees. And you said, just enjoy your 18 and shut up. And then we moved in the super hybrid and I said, make this in 14 degrees. And you said, just enjoy your 17 degrees and relax. And now we have a 16 degree monster super hybrid that is, for lack of a better word, epic in every experience people have had with it so far. And I want you to look at me right in the eyes and say, this was for you, Dan, because it's coming.
This one is for you. Not only is it a 16 degree, but it has an adjustable hosel so you can take it down to 15, right? So, I mean, there's always, we always, when we look at the SKUs, how many of the different ones are we going to sell? And it actually was kind of a challenging decision. Do we want to have that 16 and 18? But we wanted to make this a broader offering. So last time around, we didn't have the 27 degree. So we added the 27. We took the 17 and we made it the 16. We got the adjustable hosel so you can take the 15. So you're going all the way from 15 to 29 with this lineup. So really broad lineup. Like I said, the lower lofts are fairway wood replacements. The upper lofts are your long iron replacements. So I've pulled the four iron and I'm going with the five hybrid.
So we're talking like a hybrid of a hybrid at this point. And it seems like the MO at Callaway over the last couple seasons is let's try and create these great transitional concepts for golfers to fit their bag outside of just having our club that's, you know, we say this is where you should slot. It's more like, well, here's your option, pick one. And our goal is to get it the perfect blend for you. Was it hard and challenging to go at that 16 to 18 group and beyond and say, we're going to change this shape? Or was it always that plan and that understanding that we're trying to create a hybrid of a hybrid here in our best possible condition, and understanding that if someone's got this thing in 16 degrees, it very likely means they don't have a wood in the bag?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I give a lot of credit to Scott and his team, because when we were looking at the lower lofted hybrid originally for the super hybrid in more of that traditional iron-like shape, kind of the square toe type of look that Callaway, I would say, has made famous on hybrids, it just didn't really work that well in the 16 and the 18. So they designed a whole new shape, and that shape is pretty shallow. It has a different kind of toe peak than what you said. It's a little bit rounded more in the toe. So like I said, we're audio only here, but I encourage people to go out and look at the face profile. It's something very unique to Callaway. And I like the fact that we differentiated it. Instead of making the previous super hybrid, all the shapes were just about exactly the same. They were actually within a few cc's of each other in terms of the volume. And these are different. It's much more of a different type of progression. So when you get to the 21, 24, and 27, you do have a little bit of a different look. It's still not squared off, so it looks different than the Apex hybrid, but it's definitely a nice blend from the lower loft. So I think it's one of the most exciting shapes that we've had in a hybrid in a long time.
Yeah, and it's fun to see where people slotted, and that's what I'm most excited about. I mean, my dad tried mine and immediately went out and bought two. Didn't even give me a chance to help him shop. Thanks. So thank he was super Edward. Fired up. Yeah. So he'd be mad if I didn't mention that. But you know, it seems like it's really fun for me to see, because on my side of things, I want something that's effectively replacing a wood. That's my focus. Yeah. I love utilities. I love long irons. That's just the way I like to play the game. So no matter. But there are a lot of people out there who are saying my hybrids need to be at 20 or more degrees, and that's where they're the prime target for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what's fun in this sort of diverse offering, that you have the opportunity to experience it on both sides and support different types of players. And that's, I think, what I'm most excited about seeing when people come back. And you yourself said, like, I'm looking at this in the other side of the bag, the higher lofted, whereas I'm like just frothing at the mouth to get a 15 degree and saying, how close can I make this shape look to my driver when it's launching off the tee?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things we learned from the original super hybrid, was there was really two distinct markets on this. You had exactly what you're talking about, the lower lofted, typically better player, not always, but someone who's pulling a fairway out. They want it to be either their kind of second driver or the one that they're going to hit off the tee if the driver is going to go too far for them. And then on the other end, you got people who are replacing long irons, who just see this super hybrid as it's big, it's easy to hit, it's got titanium, the thing goes forever, this is going way longer than my four iron or my five iron, and I can pull those out of the bag. So that was the goal with expanding this lineup. And we know it's not for everybody. We've got Maverick hybrids, we've got Apex hybrids, we've got Bertha hybrids out there. So there's different options, but this is going to be a really interesting niche. There really is not anything like it out there on the hybrid market. It's the only titanium hybrid that's out there, and you're just not going to see the kind of ball speeds you see from this thing.
That's a big challenge, and I love that you're putting that out there for golfers who are listening in, saying, hey, go hit it and experience it and tell me I'm wrong. Again, that's DnevCG on Twitter.
Tag me so I can laugh. They have in the past. So.
They're going to get super excited about it. Yeah. I want to lighten it up a little bit before we head into full toe, and I've got some questions for you about golf overall and just a little bit about Callaway as well. First of all, it's been an interesting couple of years for you guys, transitions a lot, but you're also kind of, I don't want to say leveling off from a tech or performance standpoint, but you had this sort of meteoric rise over the last decade that's been super fun to follow if as a consumer and someone who, you know, is in the position I'm in. Is it sort of changing now where you're gaining more of an identity and beginning to balance that? Or do you still have a trajectory you guys are chasing?
Well, two answers to that question. First of all, I think there's still a lot of growth out there. And, you know, our CEO, Chip, reminds us of that every day. There's, unless you have 100% share in every category, there's growth to be had for sure. And we've seen the growth, huge growth of the number of golfers, new people into the game. And that's super exciting for Callaway, because Callaway's always been a company for all golfers. And that goes back to Mr. Callaway, Ely Callaway, DSPD, demonstrably superior and pleasingly different. He wanted to make clubs not just for tour players, but for people who are getting into the game, for juniors, for women, for mid-handicappers, high handicappers. And some of the other companies that we have out there, they're going after just the better players. And Callaway is never going to be like that. We're always going to make clubs for all golfers, and golf balls for all golfers. So there's still a lot of growth to be had there. But what's been interesting is we went from being a real kind of challenger type of brand, a rebuild type of brand when I first started over 7 years ago, to now we're the number one. And so people, we have a target on our back and people are coming after us. And that's a different mentality, because you can't rest on your laurels. You know that in the golf industry, there's a lot of bright people out there. It's super competitive, and you need to keep pushing the envelope. Some of the things we're doing with AI, with construction, with tungsten weighting, with jailbreak, that you see us continuing to push that envelope, because we have to. Because if you get to number one and just try to stay where you're at, you're going to get leapfrogged.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was expecting. And I like the decisions you guys have made through things like Topgolf and allowing people to see the brand at the forefront. I think Topgolf's a great concept. Yeah, I don't know. You answered that so well. I don't really have a good way to transition.
Well, Topgolf is, and people ask, like, why would you buy them? But we've been close with Topgolf for a long time. We've been an investor with Topgolf for a number of years. Chip has been on the board. He's been able to see how well they're run, the growth potential that they have. And it's really different. It is golf, but it's also the entertainment industry. It's the hospitality industry. And there's so many synergies that you can have from a marketing side. And for all these people that are getting into golf to be able to see Callaway clubs, you'll start to see that more at Topgolf locations. We've already been showing some of our ads on the screens there. And then some of the things they're doing with Top Tracer, it's just incredible, of getting Top Tracer at all these ranges across the country. Just elevates the range experience when you've got a launch monitor there and with the screen to tell you how far you hit it, to track your ball. It's just an incredible experience. You see it obviously at the PGA Tour events and on TV as well with the Top Tracer. So we think that Topgolf is a great fit, and we're super excited to have them as part of the Callaway family.
So tell me about your best moment of 2021, and you're welcome to do that from a golf side of things or from a personal side of things. It's up to you.
Wow. That you just put me on the spot there, but I think it always comes back to family for me. And I mean, you know that I've got the three boys, and watching them get into golf has been really rewarding. My oldest guy, Kellen, has been playing tournaments and
what? Getting into it.
Yeah,
Dave, you should have led with this, man.
Started playing tournaments at age 5. He just turned 7 now. But just to see him on the course, to win, he's won 5 tournaments this year, and just to see him to play kind of his best is so rewarding. Of course, I didn't even play golf when I was his age. I started playing baseball and tennis and all that, and picked up golf much later. But he's into it. He likes it. He likes the competitive part of it. So seeing that piece of it, I would say, is probably one of the most rewarding things I've seen this year.
Do you guys get him on staff yet or what?
He is a Callaway brand ambassador, and he wears the Callaway hat in the tournament. He also plays the Super Soft Max golf ball. And every time that he's won, I've got the picture and I send it to Finley and I say, you know, another global win for the Super Soft. In fact, I think he had the first global win, and maybe only, with the Super Soft Max golf ball. That's the one that's a little bit oversized, and it's great for beginners, juniors, people who are getting into the game, because it really helps you get the ball in the air. And as you know, with these kids who are 5, 6, 7 years old, they don't have a ton of speed. So it's hard for them to get the ball in the air. So you get a little bit of the Super Soft Max golf ball, still conforming, of course, but easy to get the ball in the air. And he loves it because we had him playing the triple track for a while, and he liked that. But the Supersoft Max is his, that's his go-to tournament ball.
That's really cool. Is he, how many years do you think he's got before he starts whooping on you?
Well, this, I shouldn't admit this on the radio show, but he beat me this year for the first time straight up, which is crazy. At age six, we played par three courses, around, and he had a tournament coming up. They only play nine holes. So we were playing the front nine to kind of see what the course looked like. This is the Welk Resort in Escondido. And I said, okay, we have time. Let's play the back nine. And he just caught fire, and he shot 31 on the back nine, par 70, 27, and I shot 32. And I'm like, wow, he just beat me straight up from the first tees. And of course, he would never let me live it down. And he likes to remind me. So, yeah, I mean, par threes, I got to play my best just to beat him.
Wow, that's awesome. My guy's five, and he's doing some camps this year, starting to really pepper the ball. It's like, man, I'm not worried about it just yet, but I keep telling my father, like, you better step your game up, get some lessons or something, because he's coming for you. That's cool. Well, man,
he beats his grandfather for sure when we go out there and play the par threes, and then he loves to play mini golf, so we have fun with all three boys with that.
Oh, that's great. That's really cool. I had one other random question, then we can jump into Jaws. So I know you're a tech guy, but are you like super into the apparel side of golf as well?
I like the apparel side. You know, I'm not into it deep in the weeds. I wouldn't get the nickname Specs, I don't think, on the apparel side, but I follow it closely. Our friends at Travis Matthew, we exchange ideas with them. But yeah, no, I'm into the golf apparel for sure.
Yeah, I'm a big Trav hat guy. It's basically my go-to. I actually just bought a Travis, what's it called? A vest, like a pillowy vest. It's the mm-hmm. greatest thing ever. Called like the cold stuff. Cold shoulder, I think it's called. The greatest name ever. I can't believe I forgot
they
it.
They have some great names for their
yeah, products. That thing is incredible. I don't know why, but I'm kind of hoping it gets cooler here. You know, obviously it's coming and I can't wait to wear it. What about shoes? Are you a shoe guy?
Yeah, I'm a shoe guy for sure.
Like Quater the only way to go? And do you have a favorite?
Yeah, the Quater, the Daily, the Moneymaker, all of those are great shoes. I think they've done such a great job with the comfort side of it, and they're continuing to grow at a super fast pace. So I would expect some big things coming from them, some new models, you know, even different colorways and all of that. But I think that they were surprised with how well that those have done, just kind of straight out of the gate. So Quater is a sub brand of Travis Matthew, for those people who don't know, and it was actually a separate company for a while, and then they partnered with Travis Matthew. And at when we bought Travis Matthew and we had that merger there, we brought Quater in. So they focus a lot on the accessories, the belts, but their shoe line is incredible. So encourage you to go check it out.
And if for nothing else, just to read the names of all these products, which are top tier.
They do a great job with that.
So let's dig into Jaws a little bit. You know, I'm not a huge wedge guy. I know it's a big part of the game, but it usually just makes me angry for some reason because you have to change them out so much. But I'm also a guy, and we need to have this conversation before anything else happens. Number one, how often do you clean your clubs? If it's not after every shot, I'm going to be mad at you, David. But number two, are you okay with rust?
Okay. So question number one, I clean my clubs very frequently after every shot. I actually give a shout out to a Nine Callaway product, but there's a Groove Brush out there. I think it's called the Groove It Brush. And encourage you to check it out. It actually has the water and the soap in the handle.
Wow.
And it's just awesome for cleaning clubs. So I do use that all the time, especially with wedges. You have to clean the grooves out because the grooves are what allow the ball to grab the edge of the groove. And that's really what gives you the spin. The ball kind of rolls up the face. And when you have these sharp edges, like with the Jaws wedge, that's what's grabbing the cover. If you've got a bunch of dirt or grass in there, it's going to just slide up and not allow it to grab the edge. And so you got to do it. I see people all the time. They've got wedges that haven't been cleaned for months. That's not smart. You're giving up. I'm telling you, giving up over 1,000 RPM. We've tested this on short shots. It's crazy how much you're giving up by not cleaning your clubs. And then the rust factor. I'm actually not a big rust guy. So that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the Jaws full toe wedge, is because we designed this with a new process where the wedge is actually chrome, but the face is raw. So the face is will go raw. It doesn't rust like crazy, because I've been playing these for the last couple months and really haven't seen that. But the face is raw to try to get the maximum amount of spin. The rest of the wedge is chromed, or you have the black, the QPQ finish, which is not a plated finish either. And that's another one that people love the look of it. But I always felt like the rust kind of made the thing look grimy, but I know a lot of the tour players love the rust. It doesn't really enhance the spin, for the people who are going to ask me that, create more surface roughness. We haven't found that to be the case in our testing. But the reason why with the raw, it actually allows you to get up against that edge of the groove better. You know, so anytime you put a chrome plating on it, you're plating it. So you're giving it a little extra material on the edge of that groove. And it's not much. We're talking microns. But when you're looking for the maximum spin, that's why a lot of the tour pros go with the raw, not because of the rusty look, but to try to get that maximum spin.
So you said you're playing the black version of the wedges at this moment. What lofts do you have in them?
56 and 60? 60. Yeah. And I've tested both. So I've tested the chrome and the black as well. I just like the black because I think it looks a little bit more compact. We've tested them. They both have outstanding spin. We're getting more spin on the Jaws full toe than we got on the Jaws MD5. And we know the Jaws MD5, we call it the most aggressive groove in golf. That thing had a ton of spin. So these ones, once again, I say, you guys got to try it. You got to take them, hit the little check shots, hit the 30, 40 yard shots, and see the grab that the new Jaws full toe have. We call it a spin machine because it has a ton of spin.
So for someone out there who has no idea what you're talking about when it comes to full toe, what is the big difference and how does this fit into your lineup overall?
Yeah, so it's kind of the evolution of our PM grind. So our Phil Mickelson grind, which goes all the way back to 2014, 2015, when Phil was wanting to have this high toe wedge, and Roger actually welded together. He cut the top of an MD2 wedge and welded on the top of the wedge to kind of create this high toe. And then we created the original PM grind. And then we had the replacement for that, which was the PM19. And they kind of have cult status out there, I would say, in the market. But one of the feedback that we had with the PM grind was around the shaping of it, especially on full shots. People thought it looked too much like a specialty wedge. And so it ended up that Phil was the guy on tour who was carrying the flag for the PM grind. He was basically the only guy playing it. So we wanted to make something that would work better on full shots, but still give you the advantage of the full toe. And what that is the higher CG, and moving the CG a little bit more away from the hosel, a little bit higher, which helps control your trajectory. And it really helps with spin as well. So when you look at the back of the new Jaws full toe wedge, you'll see two things that are really interesting. On our weight ports, which have become kind of symbolic for the Callaway wedges, there are different depths of the weight ports. And that's actually very visible when you look at that. And that's so to have more weight out towards the toe, less weight into the heel. The other thing you'll see is this Jaws toe pad, and the pad is thicker. And that's, once again, getting that weight high and out towards the toe. We combine that with putting grooves all the way across the face. So anywhere that you hit it on the face, you will be getting spin. And that's huge for around the greens. A lot of people open up the face. They're hitting out a rough. They hit the ball a lot higher on the face than they would expect, a lot higher than they would with, say, a 7-iron. And so you've got CG out there. So you've got mass out there, and you've got grooves out there for the spin. So really strong combo. So I would say Jaws full toe, it's not a replacement for the Jaws MD5. We only have one grind. It's the C grind, but it really is the next evolution of the PM grind. go from 54 all the way up to 64 in the two finishes.
64. What sort of insanity would play a 64 degree wedge? That's what I want to know.
It's too much loft for me. When I set it down, I'm like, that is a true pancake. But the fact that you can open it up and hit these ultra flops, and Phil obviously uses it. So we made these in righty and lefty in both finishes. Shout out to the lefties out there, Ethan Ader, CG, my boy Austin Tudor, all those guys that are that are listening who are the lefties always saying, you don't make them, you know, in both finishes. Well, we did. We did. So go and buy them and prove it to us that we should be doing this. So we have righty and lefty, 54 all the way up to 64. We've got it in the black and in the chrome as well.
That's pretty cool. We had a great chat last week with Mr. Verska talking about his full toe and how much he liked that there's sort of a clean look down at the bag, but then when you put it down at a dress, you got to see that variance with the what someone said patina, but sort of the rusting features coming around. And yeah, I think maybe I'd be a bit more accommodating that. I know a good friend of ours, Mr. J-Man, James Miles, is obsessively fond of rust. So maybe he's going to start talking to, you know, ripping off some of that extra coating. But it is cool to see you guys change the way you do this work. And obviously the focus is on the grooves and the impact there. So, you know, concerning yourself and the way things look on the other side, or, you know, putting an iron cover on it or something like that shouldn't be the primary feature here.
And one of the things that's important too is the tour players who put it in play now can play the exact same wedge that we're selling at retail. So in the past, we had the Jaws MD5 with the tour gray finish and the chrome. We came with the raw later, but out on tour, I would say 90% of guys were playing the raw, and we always get these questions. Oh, the tour wedge is different. Why are they playing the raw? Blah, 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 blah. And no, the wedges weren't different, but they wanted that raw face. So now you've got the chrome in the back, but you still have that raw face, and it's the exact same wedge that the tour players are playing. And that matters to a lot of people. So I think that's an additional benefit of doing this. At retail, we're going to have protective stickers. So we have a protective coating on there. Then there's a sticker. Then you can peel it off on top, so they're not going to rust if you, say, went out to one of our big stores, like a PGA Tour Superstore or Worldwide Golf, and check them out. But once you do take off that cover and then exposed to the air, it will tend to rust. And like I said, I don't think it's crazy rusting on the face. So maybe J-Man might need to drop it in some Coca-Cola or something like that.
Oh, he will.
To get the full rusting going on.
That's awesome. Yeah, for anyone out there, go hit Full Toe and Epic Super Hybrid. Tell me what you think. Mostly, more specifically, the Super Hybrid, because that is like the best friend I never knew I wanted until I hit it. And this is like the best friend's best friend who I now get to meet. So, yeah. Dave, do you have any questions for me today?
Well, we got a little input into your bag, but just talk about the top of the bag. You got no fairway woods in the bag. Talk about.
I'm trying not to. So I'm like, someone said to me, you're the top of your bag is fascinating, or something. Like, he made a comment that was effectively saying, like, there's a lot of mental insanity going on up here. it's a constant work in progress. Super Hybrid's been in there. I got this crazy long 3-iron in there. We've got Epic Forged in there. We've had X-Forged CBs in the bag this year. Super fun to hit those. Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit of a cycle, and it's fun. Like, I love trying that stuff and seeing the different benefits that come into play. And it's probably why I'm so excited to check out the new one in 16, because right now I'm stuck at 17 down to 16. So let's get 16 down to 15 and have some real fun.
And do you have any visits planned to see our man JB and do some testing?
Yes, actually, I think within the next month, I should be at the tech studio. We'll have some fun, put on a bit of a show there. Hopefully I can talk someone else to go so we can get a better swing in play. But yeah, we'll see what we can do there, and certainly give people a chance to get a better idea what to expect with the products coming out.
Yeah, no, we're really excited, and we always appreciate the partnership. And I know we got some fun stuff coming with you guys with the granddaddy. The granddaddy is back, and we're super pumped. I was just talking to Darth Finley about it yesterday. So we got some tricks up our sleeve, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. I need to find a way to become like the equipment manager for THP on this one. I know I'm not coming back as a player. You guys don't want that.
No, the only guy who ever beat us. So yeah. Of course, we don't want you back.
I want to be like, I'll carry the bags to the bus or something. Just front row seat.
I think you just ride out to the sunset, man. I mean, you have the title as the only captain to ever beat the Zoo Crew. So You don't want to come back and ruin that legacy.
Well, you never know. Maybe I'll just call my buddy Al, stay at his place. It'll be fine. Come and heckle.
That's always the possibility. Yeah.
All right, Dave. Well, hey, I appreciate your time today, and best of luck with all the releases this year, and certainly your son playing golf and kicking butt. That's super cool to hear about. Again, everyone, if you want to chat with Dave on Twitter, he is there talking golf at DnevsCG, and obviously Callaway Golf, Odyssey Golf, all the big boy titles out there. So if you are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Go hit some Callaway products, maybe a little Odyssey putter, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be with you.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.